Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And once again, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, I'm asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come forward to do the speaking and the teaching this evening, Father, so that we can all grow thereby in knowledge and in faith, so that we can walk on that pathway of righteousness, walking in upright, pleasing unto you, Father. Now be with us throughout this study, and we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning we went through chapter 7 and a little over halfway through chapter 8. We had ended, Jesus had cast the demons out of this one fellow that had not just one or two, but had a legion. And he had so many in him that he had asked Jesus to let them go in to a herd of swine. Jesus did, and the swine all run down the hill and into the water, drowned. They were 2,000 of them. But we don't know how many demons really was in this one man. It was enough to drown 2,000 swine because they didn't want to meet him. And then, right at the end of the study this morning, we had seen where the woman with the issue of blood that 12 years, where she was healed. And now, this evening, we're going to be picking up with verse 41 of chapter 8. And we know that more likely we'll be getting into chapter 9, because we don't have that many verses left. We'll be starting with 41, and it goes to 56. but we don't want to leave anything out because we are learning. And I know I'm learning. I'm picking up things as we go, and I'm hoping that you are. Now, 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She had this issue, but doctors couldn't heal her. 44, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped, or in other words, it stopped. 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and saith thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Of course, he knew who it was all along. He knew why, even. 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Now here in 48, she's confessed this in front of all of these people. 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, as we go through these books of the four Gospels, whenever you see things done this way, miracles, healing, and all of those things, Jesus is always letting them know that it was their faith that brought it about. And today, under the church age and living under grace, it is faith that will cause things to be done for you and I, or to be done to someone else that the Lord may have sent us to help them. Now, 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. The daughter had died. 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now here again, it's not just a healing, it's also a miracle, because he's going to be raising the dead. 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. That's all he allowed to go in with him, into the house. 52. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleeping. 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But he also knows what he's going to do. 54. And he put them all out. Because you see, when we are going to be doing something for God that requires faith, we don't need anyone with us that has unbelief. And he put all out. So they had been just laughing at him. But he knew there was a lot of them there that didn't have faith. And took her by the hand. He sent them out, but he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. He's asking them not to tell, but he knows they're going to. And he also knows that news is going to bring more multitudes to him, which is going to cost him a lot more work. We end with chapter 8 there with that verse. So we will be going into chapter 9. And here's verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, you see, they have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to put that. And he's given them authority and power now to do what he's about to send them out to do. Just as with you and I. Now the difference of you and I that are born again children of God, that power is already in us. And we have already been given the authority. And the authority to use his name. Now, verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, only just the ones you got on. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. In other words, stay at that place until you're ready to leave out. 5. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Just to shake off the dust of their feet would be a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. Well, Herod is the one that had John beheaded. Now, there's some that are claiming that Jesus is John raised from the dead. Now, 8, and some that Elijah had appeared, and others that one of the old prophets was risen again. They were just looking at him, each one proclaiming something different, and yet none of it true. Now here in 9, and Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Now he let everybody know, I beheaded John. Well, I want to know who this is, and I want to see him. 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, this that the disciples talking to Jesus, of course. Now, 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. You see, he never turned down anyone that needed healing. And if there was more than one there that needed it, they were all that was in need of healing was healed. 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Uh-oh. You know, it looks like at least his disciples would learn to listen to what he says without any doubt, and that they would be walking in faith enough just to do as he tells them to do. But they have doubt too. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. Just men. We know there was women and children with this group. There always was. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. In other words, he said, set them down in groups of 50s. Of course, they're wondering now, set them down, but how are we going to feed them? We only got these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But they did so and made them all sit down. 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up a fragment that remained to them 12 baskets. You see, this was the first group here that he did. So in the book of Luke here, that Luke's talking about, they took up 12 baskets. After everybody eating and getting full, all from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answered, saying, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. 20. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Now he's telling them. And he's told him there, he'd be slain and raised the third day. 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You see, we are to carry this cross daily. That's why I've told you. All that is really the children of Almighty God, you need to be in His Word every day. You need to be speaking with Him every day and walking and speaking with others that you come in contact with about Him, because your life is to be committed, dedicated, and given to Him. Now, 24, he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. 25, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What have you gained if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul for eternity and you become a cast away? 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You're ashamed of him? You want to reject him? He just told you there he's going to be ashamed of you. And you'll be rejected too. Think about this. Now, 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Think about that for a moment. Because you see, all this change is going to come about. And on that day of Pentecost, when they were in that upper room, When that rushing mighty wind come in, that sound of a rushing mighty wind, and those cloven tongues as the fire that set upon each one of them that brought and filled them with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That was the coming of the kingdom of Almighty God. And a lot of those were still living. And all of his disciples were. Now, 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Think about it. His raiment, his clothing, was white and glistening. Now, 30. And behold, there talked with him two men which were Moses, Elijah. Now, you know, there's a lot believe that it'll be Moses and Elijah will be the two prophets that will come during the tribulation period that will be speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will kill and leave in the streets. But really, when you read God's word, and what I believe the Spirit led me to remember was, his word tells us it is appointed unto every man wants to die. There were two that was taken up to heaven without dying. They're in heaven right now without ever dying. And I believe that the two that are going to be back during this tribulation period is going to be them, not Moses and Elijah. Because you see, they've never died. One was took up in a chariot. The other was took up in a chariot of fire. The other was took up in a whirlwind. Neither one of them died. Now, let's see. Now, here in 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Now this cloud, listen to what it is. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my son, beloved son. Hear him. God speaking to them from this cloud. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. Moses and Elijah then gone back to heaven. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. That's one thing they did keep to themselves until the writing, the record, hearing his word. Now, 37. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him heartily, departed from him. 40. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. He's telling Jesus, I've asked your disciples to cast him out, and they couldn't do it. Jesus answering said, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. He's telling him to bring him to him now. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and carried him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. And while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, these same sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Once again, he's telling them that he's going to be delivered into the hands of men. 45. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him, saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. Uh-oh. We all know that we're nothing without him. So there's none of us greater than the other. If you are a born-again child of God, we are all brothers. None of us is greater. He's the great one. He's the greatest. Because, you see, he's also our brother as well as our Savior, according to God's word. And we even stand to receive inheritance with him. Which means a whole lot of things that we're not seeing done today. Now, that'll be for another time. 47. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their hearts, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. You see, anything that comes from us that's great has come from Almighty God. We didn't do it. It just came through us. But it was from God. Now, 49. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followed not with us. Now they saw another one, they said, casting out devils, but they would forbid him to do it. 50. And Jesus said unto them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And he couldn't have been casting out demons if he was not a child of God. Because he had to be doing it by the power of God to be casting out demons. Now, 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. 52. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That was his mission here, was to save mankind. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. He has no place, really, of his own on this earth. He was always staying with someone else. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Very plain. Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. When God tells you to do something, get busy and get moving to get that done, and you don't let nothing or no one stop you and come between. No. Now, these next two verses we're going to be closing for the evening. 61. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Strong. They wonder why I teach like I do. They get upset because we get on toes. But I get on my own too, because the kingdom of God is within mankind. Those that belong to him. And we are not to be conformed to this world. We are to walk with him and to walk in the Spirit, doing whatsoever he will call upon you and I to do and to accomplish. And we don't stand in fear of doing it. As his word said, verse to stand and speak boldly, speaking the truth of this word. I'm going to leave you there with that thought. Something to think about through the night. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for these times that we have, that we can come together, friendship and fellowship with each other and with each other and you and the Holy Spirit, all being together, Father, at these times. Now, Father, once again, we pray for those that are out there that are sick with disease and distress. And we let them know that they don't have to walk in that sickness. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus took our sins and our sickness and diseases to the cross. And a promise in your word tells us that by his stripes that he bore at that time, we are healed. No mites, no maybes, we are healed. Now, when you accept that healing, it may not happen all at once. But if you will stand believing in it, knowing that it is done, turning it loose, you will see it come about. It may not be even that day, nor the next. It may be a few days down the road. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't done at that very moment. But it may test your faith. And you stand faithful, knowing that God keeps his promise. He does not lie. He keeps his promise. And it will come about. He tells us, if we speak to our mountain and believe in our heart for that mountain to be removed, it shall move. You see, we have to have that faith. And we have to stand on it. And we'll see a lot of things accomplished. Now, Father, for those that are out there walking in darkness, And we all have family members that are walking in darkness. May the Holy Spirit speak to them, speak to their hearts and their minds, causing them to think and to come to a knowledge of knowing that they need something more than themselves, that they need someone to deliver them, and may they hear the word from one of yours that will bring them in remembrance and bring them to a saving knowledge of knowing they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will accept him and they will ask him for his forgiveness. And they'll ask him into their lives to make heaven their home, that none be lost. Now, Father, be with us all the rest of this evening. And as we lay down tonight, keep us through the night in health. Keep us safe. Let us rest, Father. Raise in the morning, refreshed. And once again, come together in your word, A.M. And we, Father, bring praise, honor, and glory to you. And this, Father, is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a good evening, and God bless.